Good morning, everyone. TJ Schwartz here. I'm here with Lucas Burnley, my co-host. This is the Edge and Flow podcast. And we are just kind of looking down the barrel of the very end of the year. And it's probably going to be our last recording of the year. So we're kind of thinking about like a year-end review. So that excites me because we could talk about kind of the knife industry over the year, our individual businesses over the year, some of our friends' businesses. We're really like feverishly talking before this podcast about just kind of the excitement percolating through our lives and friends' lives. And yeah, it's gonna be a fun one.
Dude, this is a fun one. Do we start with that? Because it feels really sticky. Or do we do shop updates first?
I could probably tie my shop update into the year interview because
dude, let's do it. Roll with grinding. We got to go grinding because that's so big. Let's just start there. And then,
well, I'll kind of do the full loop here. Cause basically if I look at the year, it was all about grinding from the very beginning, because the ultimate pressure to get into this shop this year was the grinding, because we needed the space for that machine. And that was the number one line item for having more space, was to get a grinding operation started. And so that's what I was this time last year. I didn't know it, but I was just about to have the opportunity to get in the shop come across my plate. So basically this whole year was moving in the shop, ordering that machine, waiting for the machine, getting set up, getting ready for it, and then hoping to get it grinding by the end of the year. So I could basically take 2024 and summate it as the year of trying to get grinding. Well, this week being the last full week of the year, we did our first production grinding run. So it's kind of like a full circle moment, and it feels really good. We did like 25 Overland Sports, first production batch of grinding. We shipped all of them to customers. So there's none left in the shop, which is crazy to me that our first week we had like, you know, totally high quality, no issue, production ready. Obviously there's lots of R&D and just, you know, efficiency things and little improvements we can make, but we had success this week. And it ended up making this week really, I don't know if it was like a record per se, but it felt like the busiest week we've ever had, but also felt very smooth. And it's kind of because we kind of ran the parallel of having normal production running and then paralleling the grinding, not because we didn't know, you know, for sure if we were going to have shippable knives.
Right.
Yep. So in a weird way, it's like we doubled our output this week because we ran the normal way and the new way at the same time.
And the new way and just happened to work out. And so
Yeah. So it was honestly, it almost like it gave me goosebumps this week, because it's been a long, long time that I've been thinking about how this would operate. And the whole business kind of was like in a weird place. Like, honestly, the last few months has felt kind of weird because we're not running the way we're supposed to be running. The whole thing is set up to be grinding, right, and we weren't grinding. And so we had a chat a week or two ago talking with the guys in the shop, because it's like, even they were feeling it. They're like, why is this schedule isn't working? Like, we started to have some friction, and it kind of felt like this moment where it was like, yeah, there's something missing. Like, we need this grinding to make this all blend. And it finally seeing it come together, it was like, I think everyone in the shop could feel it. It's like, yeah, this is it. This is the way it was supposed to be all along. So,
dude, just the fact that like how fast you got it up and running is like for anybody in this space is impressive. It is a testament to the fact that the process is the product, and like you had planned well, but it's still, dude, like if I buy a drill press, it'll sit on the floor for 6 months. Like, it's amazing to me, like that you got that thing like hit the floor. If that feels like real manufacturing, where you're like, nope, this machine goes into the spot. It is now on. It was like online, like as soon as you had the components, what, a couple of days, a week? Like once all the pieces were in place, it was just like you turned it on and went.
Yeah. And dude, I thought for sure we'd be limping for months. I thought
that's what I would assume. right? Some unforeseen problem, like gremlins in the machine, like something's not working right.
That was my assumption. I mean, because grinding is an art. No matter how much research you do, it's gonna like every knife's different, every machine's different, every wheel's different, coolant systems are different. It's all, it's like a, it's just, it's everyone asks kind of like, what's the recipe or whatever. It's like, well, the only way to know is to run and just listen and watch and start collecting your own data. It's really the only answer. And so we were able to have, a great starting position from talking to some other people that were doing it. Tim Reeve, just absolutely clutch. Honestly, got to circle back to that. Like, this would never have happened, could never have happened without Tim and like the legacy of their company and the way that they are open and sharing and stuff. Like,
Not gatekeeping,
yeah, not
which is
gate.
huge.
Yeah,
Like,
I was talking to Steven about it, I think, and I was like, and Jens, I was talking to him about it. It's like, where would we be without CRK? And Jens responded with a guy making a stone wheel like a caveman. And I was like, yeah, that's accurate.
Dude, that's a truism, like, for our industry in general, right? And people forget that, and at some point they then become gatekeepers, and it's fear, right? Like, there's people who will guard little areas, and you look and you're like, okay, if you're making liner locks or frame locks, I mean, dude, bring it back to Chris. It's like basically Michael Walker and Chris Reeve. Like, I mean, thank you guys. That's like the thing, right? There's so much of that that happens, and so much transfer of information. Sometimes when it's a more like industrial process, I think it feels different because our assumption is that companies like don't share, almost in a way, but it's not true because that it's the knife industry. Like, there are obviously exceptions to every rule, but that I love it so much. And I think it shows, for me, it shows like Chris Reeve in the industry, as a knife company, like origins and like just like they're like good to the industry.
Yeah,
They're a good part of it.
I was having a conversation with Ken Barker, who's the main guy running the heat treat division that does our knives. And obviously, he talks to knife company owners every single day, so he sees it all in the Boise area and beyond. And they are a heat treater, so they do a lot of other things. You know what I mean? They're doing anybody's heat treat in the valley, basically. So he was, I can't remember what I think I was telling him about the grinding, and I was telling him about how Tim helped me, and he's like, yeah, I don't know what happened in this valley, but he's like, there's no other industry like the Boise knife situation. He's like, the way that everyone here is working together, he's like, I've never seen it before. And he's just, in touch with a lot of different industries as being a heat treater. And he's like, yeah, I don't know where that started. I'm like, well, I can tell you where it started. And it's the guy that started the knife industry in Southern Idaho, which is, Chris. And it's like that, I think his approach in sharing all this stuff has kind of lived on. And it's like Tim has carried that flag, and people that they've shared with are also seeming to like lead the way with like just being open and stuff. And
It's learned that some of
it's
that is
kind of
learned
weird.
behavior, right? It's like the pay it forward concept. Like,
Yeah,
at a point,
exactly.
if you have, I mean, this stuff is hard enough, dude, with help. It's hard enough if someone explains something to you because you still have to go do it, right? It's not like you just like put your money down and then you can do all the things. And that's people don't understand that necessarily around like CNC in general. They don't like any of these things that as a maker, when you start to integrate it, dude, that's still hard, right? I love
And
that. That's, yeah, it's
yeah, and
good vibes.
that was the famous thing that Chris said that I've heard from other people is he's like, yeah, I can show them how to do it. They still have to do the work. And that always sticks in my mind of like, just because you know how to do this doesn't mean it's a free pass. And that's the confidence you can have in showing something to someone is like, I can make their life more comfortable and that this is not going to be as painful for them, but still going to have to show up and work. You know what I mean? It's not like free money. You know what I mean?
Well,
So,
there's like a side thought to that too, which is like if someone asks you for something and you either do it or don't do it. The people that want to figure it out, that have the drive to figure it out, they're going to figure it out. How you interact with that person definitely affects your relationship with them moving forward. And I look at it, I'm like, I've just always wanted to have more positive connections in the industry than negative. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know the people that really helped me and that I feel like a debt of gratitude to. And I know people that like stonewalled me or did like didn't take me seriously or something. And I'm like, I know where that feeling lies. I'd rather have more positive connections. So that right there, that's a good example of creating positive connections and like goodwill in general for your company.
Yeah, because it's a two-way street. I mean, everybody, if you're sharing openly, you know what I mean? It's like there's this natural tendency to like that becomes two-way street, and it's, I mean, no one person or no one company has it all right. And it's like you can't just, if you're gatekeeping everything you have and you're protecting it and you don't want to share, you're going to end up with a bunch of antiquated processes because you're building a wall that would block two-way traffic, you know what I mean? So it's like rising tide lifts all ships is a cliche, but it's, you
That's it's
know,
not
it's,
though. It's like legit, right? If you're in a network, you want like what do you want? You want your network to be as strong as possible, right? So like my goal is always to have I want my network to grow, and I want anyone connected to me to be stronger because they're connected to me. And hopefully the same is true too, right? Like we benefit. There's an interesting parallel actually inside of the industry to make, which is it's not, I don't think it's too much of a stretch, but so we talked about like the knife towns, right? Like in different countries. Okay. What Boise sounds like overall is actually like very similar to Moniago, Italy, where the companies are smaller. I mean, they have like a long history of this, but they're fairly collaborative. Like, at least from my understanding, I'm sure there's like blood feuds and other weird stuff that goes on, but it's like, you know, a family member will take a portion of the business and like go start like a grinding shop or go start like mass finishing or something. And then they have, dude, they have their like their knife festival in July, right? Like it's the whole city coming together around like their shared craft. Okay. Solingen in Germany is not like that. Okay. Solingen is there's a lot more closed down. And I think some of it is like when and how those companies were developed, there's less collaboration, you know, and you've got like the big company, you've got Wusthof and Henkels and Boker and like so many other like smaller brands, and they're not tight. That's how Portland feels.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
So it's an, I don't know what the process for doing that is other than the size of the companies, right? Just an interesting, like, as like a student of the industry, I think that's like an interesting parallel.
Yeah, no, that's pretty dead on. Honestly, I agree with that. I didn't know much about the German knife culture over there,
Yeah.
but
It's surprising too, 'cause you look and you're like, man, it's the same thing. Like it's, I mean, it's in the culture, like a Solingen especially, where you're like, the whole town is built on it. Right. But no love lost a lot of times between like the big dogs. And you look and you're like, kind of like, how much better would it be if they got along?
Yeah, if this was a team
If it
effort,
was a team effort, you know, like what problems do you not have to solve twice?
yeah, for
You
sure.
know? Okay. That's a big one. So you dude, inside of a year, this is crazy. This time last year, you were still in your 300 square foot
Correct.
shop. So you have 10x'd space. You have increased output. You have not drastically increased overhead, right? You haven't like put like rocket fuel on any one area of the business. You've had like natural growth. And inside of a year, dude, your business looks completely different from
It
like an
feels,
output standpoint.
yeah, it feels different. It feels like a company now. Before, it felt like a one-man shop that had help. You know what I mean? So now it feels, yeah, it's, I'm super happy with how the year went. I will say this, I don't want to, I look at it and I'm like, I don't want that every year. You know what I mean? It's
Totally.
like,
Can't be in a growth state all the time. Right.
yeah, because there's a sustainability and, you know, building a pyramid versus building a tower metaphor and all that. And it's like, I do look at 2025 as kind of like, okay, now we've equipped ourselves. Now let's use that equipment. It's kind of like, let's just get good at doing what we're doing as people using the equipment we have. Whereas for the last 3 years, it's always just been about getting the right equipment, getting the next thing, getting, you know what I mean? Whereas now we have a well-rounded kind of arsenal, and it's like now it's just time to get really good at using it and smooth.
What I hear is that you get a focus shift.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of times what I see is that, like, when people put their foot on the gas, there's a few areas that they're pushing forward. Okay. This is a weird analogy, but, like, I don't know if anyone remembers, like, early 2000 or, like, pre-2000, there was, like, a lot of, like, survivalism kind of stuff going on. And, like, you talk to people, and a lot of it's like, you got a lot of guns and ammo for someone who wants, like, a well-rounded system. Sometimes it feels like that's, like, what maker businesses do. What it seems like now is you don't need to push on, like, the product, the production side necessarily. Might give you bandwidth to, like, increase, figure out different marketing strategies, it's just a realignment of your resources of time.
Well, I think I told you, like, in 2024, this year, I designed 0 products.
That's crazy.
And that was the direct effect of, like, I'm putting everything into
Yeah.
production.
Yep.
And that right there is the ultimate trade, is like I forewent doing any design and R&D
Yep.
aside from the fact that I was going to R&D existing models to be more efficient.
Yeah.
And so it paid, in spades. But I'm sitting here looking at, like, the Lost Trail 5, which is, been great. But I saw on Instagram, I was like, I was machining those in November of last year.
Right.
And it's like, so it's been 13 months, and that's our newest model.
Yeah.
And it kind of
Dude, I
like,
fully understand that.
yeah. So that can't continue. You know what I mean? Because
Yeah.
I've left something behind there that
Right.
is a big part of the brand and what I want to be.
And what
So
you enjoy.
yeah.
And
Yeah.
that right there, having, I think, like, coming into the end of the year, this is, like, a very on topic, like, thought, right? Which is, am I doing what I want to do? Do my values align with my business? And, like, where does my time need to be spent? Like, just as a thought, like, going into next year. And so be any type of marketing, any type of advertising, any type of, like, distribution, like, none of those things are actually the thing. It's just you getting to do more design
That
again.
yeah, that's number one.
Number
Yeah.
one,
Yeah.
like,
So
it's pretty cool.
now that the machine is grinding and it kind of is the capstone of the year, I keep thinking to myself, like, the machine grinding is the final release for me to be like, okay, I'm gonna start spending my time designing. So yeah, that's a cool, it's weird how it bookended so well as far as the year goes that
No kidding.
It's January 1st, like, usually to me is just a meaningless date.
Same.
But right now, I've never felt a January 1st that's like, wow, this is ne next year is like a new life almost, because, for years
How
it's,
cool is that?
yeah, it's a weird one. I'm
What
happy.
are you guys going to do, like, a year-end shutdown? Like, when are you closing the doors for the year?
We're gonna work like a little piecemeal for the next couple weeks, like a couple days here and there. We're taking, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day off, New Year's Day. We can't shut down all the way, because I would say this, as far as keeping up with, like, custom orders, we were
Yeah.
definitely starting to bend and crack
Yeah.
and fall behind. And it was basically, if I would have rewinded about 3 weeks ago and I did not have the X9, I would
Yeah.
have probably started to manually bottleneck sales because we were starting to get
Got it.
overrun. And basically it was a little bit of a gamble on my part of, like, if I just let the sales go, this X9 is going to come in and, like, basically save the day.
Right.
And it did, but we only have 1 week, and we're going to need
Right.
like one or two more, like, pushes to get back on top, I would say.
Okay.
So we're not like, we do have enough on our plate. We'll work, 2 days a week for the next couple of weeks.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, we're basically, today is my last working day of the year, probably. I give, like, my year My ear has been very non-linear, and this tracks like a lot of times it is. I'm finishing with a project that I feel really good about, and it's kind of a weird one. I sent you pictures. So I stopped taking orders in 2012, right? I got like completely bogged down. And I mean, that's insane. That's 10, 12 years ago. Jeez.
13.
13 years ago. Oh my Lord. There's an electric motor shop here in town, and the dude who owns it has just been like super good to me. Like he's come by like after work and like helped me fix like stuff on my surface grinder, and like he'll charge me like cost for parts and stuff. And this is going to get into the weeds a little bit, but it relates to production and it relates to some decisions. He was in the shop like last month, and he saw the Kihoku, and he was like, dude, this is awesome. Like, can I get four of these for my guys? Like, he's got like four like main shop dudes. And when people ask me for knives that are not like industry, or I'm not getting ready for a show, it's usually like super stressful because there's so many variables, right? Like when I'm making folders and stuff, there's still variables, and like I know where things need to go. And like this was the first time where I was like, yeah. And it felt awesome. And it was because I could see a clear path and timeline. I understood how long it would take to make the knives. I knew that I could do it inside of a time frame. And it was really exciting that like somebody who was outside of the knife industry could just access something. It almost was a problem because my machine crashed last week and I lost a week, but I finished the
Pratt,
knives last
you're talking
night.
about the wiring?
Yeah, I don't know if
Okay.
we talked about that. But yeah, basically I had it's an older machine,
We did
runs
talk
on a
about,
floppy disk. Yeah. So the company that I ordered the part from never sent the part out. It's super
Oh,
weird, dude. It
shoot.
was almost like I can't figure out if it's a company that like does drop shipping from somewhere else. Took me forever to get anybody on the phone. I get on the phone, and it's like a dude who's like in his house, and he's at first he's like, yeah, I can get a hold of the company. And then he's like, well, let me go check the closet. Like I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea
Full
what
of smoke
happened,
and mirrors.
but I was like, cannot overemphasize how badly I need this part. They overnighted it, but I had paid for 2 day in the first place. Like bad. Okay. Finished the knives last night. Their Christmas party is tonight. He's giving the knives to his dudes. And the biggest thing for me right there is like all of the work that went into the Kihoku, and like all of the help that you gave me, like getting this up and running, is like it's also a year. It feels really good just to bookend it with like making some dudes some
Yeah,
knives.
that's a great feeling.
His employees are going to be psyched. And it's like, dude, hopefully they just like go into some hunting packs or like their truck. Like it feels really, really good. And it's like, that's what that knife was supposed to do. That knife is supposed to be something that I have and can sell and like a product, right? Not like always a piece of art that's like complicated and hard to figure out.
No, I mean, and that's a cool way to kind of cap your year, because in a way this year for you was the production startup, you know what I mean? So it's
And
like the
it's not there. It's like I look, and this is another like coming into the end of the year, like who you know, and dude, the amount of help that you gave me around giving, like getting the Kihoku running is like not inconsequential, right? But again, this is our industry, right? It's like a learned thing. Your network supports you. You support your network. You and I were having a conversation earlier where I've got something coming down the line that you're interested in and don't have experience with. And it's like, now I'm going to get to hopefully like give some of that time and like thought back. And that's like, dude, that's what is rad
what it's
about
all
the
about.
people you have around you, is it's like leapfrog making each other better. That's what your connection should be. Right. So yeah, it feels good. It's like I've got the first like bigger production run of Kihoku's going, like pieces put in place. outsourcing the heat treating, like doing this thing that like is foreign to me, right? But it feels solid because I'm learning a lot of it, like I'm learning it from you. And it's exciting. Like, it's all good. On the flip side, I've done more design this year than I have in the last 4 years, right? Submitted more production models because of all of the work around Fusion, right? And it's like sometimes like this stuff feels so slow and you're like just in the weeds, kind of slogging along. And this ties into our other conversation, which is like, if you are trusting your gut and you feel like you are on some kind of path, you should probably just trust your gut and like not worry about feeling or seeing the like short-term gains. Because what I'm seeing coming into the end of this year is like, I don't know if it's like something in like, I don't know what it is, right? There's a lot of like good things catching up with good people. No less than five friends have some major change going on that is essentially based on prior decisions and consistency of action. But it's like almost surprising to all of us, I think. Like you look and you're like, whoa. How'd
Fireworks,
that
man.
work out? You know?
It's I we were talking earlier about how I feel a sense of optimism right now, and not just in our own business, but just looking around. I'm like, this is a good era, you know what I mean? Like the knife industry, you know, there's always macroeconomic things. We talked not that long ago about kind of a little more gloomy look at industry.
Industry overall numbers are probably down a little bit.
But it's like the people that are sort of, at least in our general vicinity, it's like, man, things are going pretty well. It looks good out there to me.
I think it's a bad time to take things for granted. I think, and I don't mean specifically like this moment, but I think like over the last couple of years, taking things for granted and like kind of like resting on your laurels would have been a bad move. And what I'm seeing is like the people that are having this kind of like this weirdly time like aligned success are people who have been like, even if there's some confusion, like moving forward, like true to some ideal and their purpose and like doing it with passion, even if it's like from a place of exhaustion. It's like the concept that like it's like chop wood, carry water. You're like familiar with that? It's like a Buddhist saying, like before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. It's like that's what I feel like I'm seeing is I think a lot of people have just been like chopping wood and carrying water, and it's paying off.
No, I was forget who I was talking to. Someone asked what my goals for 2025 were, and I just said, make knives.
Yeah, dude.
Because I mean, that really is it. It's like, I mean,
No.
we just keep focusing on making knives and it keeps working. So why, you know what I mean? Like, don't overcomplicate it.
And what's cool about that though, like knowing you, like I know there's other things going on in your life that are like also getting upgraded. And so it's you're saying like, oh, my only goals are this, but like as a friend, I see you achieving goals that are valuable, whether it's like with your family, with time. Dude, like you took on a new hobby. Like these things that are like the saw like probably more value and emphasis should be put on them in the context of business, right? But it's not a hard metric. Those things are improving, and you're like, if you're doing both of those things, then your success is almost like exponential, right? Like if you're giving everything up and like your health is going to shit and you're like unhappy, but your business is really making a lot of money, like that's not
That's
a
a
good,
lose.
that's a, that's like a, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that too. It's that's the other thing about looking into this new year is, I mean, the move and the setting up in the new shop, it's like
Yeah.
it took a little bit more for me than what I would want to give forever. And it's like now looking at it, it's like, wait, I don't have to move in Q1. Like this is going to
Dude.
be a way better Q1 than last year. I don't have to move. Like it's, you know what I mean? I'm going to utilize that time, you know, for other goals, like you just mentioned. So,
You get why, like, at a point, just like old dudes are tough. Like, just people with experience. Like, I'm saying old dudes because of like coming from like the welding industry and like the knife industry, right? So it's like a mass generalization, but like humans with experience become more durable because you're just like, I look now, I'm 42. I think there's a lot of things day to day that I would have really struggled with a decade ago. But it's like muscle memory at this point. Like I'm able to process more, like I'm able to withstand more.
Yeah, I've heard some science about that. I don't know. I'm not a neurologist or, you know, whatever, but there's like a part of your brain that deals with discomfort,
Yeah.
and it's like almost like a muscle that develops over time, and it gets more and more able to
Yeah.
manage discomfort in a healthy way. And it's like stable pressure against it makes it stronger. And it's
Yeah.
kind of like being in business and just life in general, honestly. It's
Yeah.
you can see that maturing in individuals oftentimes, you know.
Yeah.
So
Well,
yeah,
and
I
it's like good to stress the system too. I think like they, you know, they talk about like eustress and stuff and that idea that it creates creativity, it creates drive, it creates problem solving. Like there's different types of stress, good stress, bad stress. But also like you're saying like you can't just keep your foot on the gas all the time. It's like I think a lot of times it feels like we need to be pushing, and pushing is how we're going to get ahead. But in my life, I notice sometimes I'm like literally when I stop, when I fully stop is when I have a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And there's times where I can either make the decision to stop or I can like burn out and be stopped, and I have less control over that. You know?
Yeah.
That's an interesting process, man. It's like sometimes like, yeah, to get more done, you do less, and then it's just a there's cycles, you
Yeah.
know? But it's
No, I
hard to
agree.
see that from, 'cause sometimes it just feels like we're churning so hard and like pushing and pushing and pushing,
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
yeah. Soft reset every once in a while
It's like a soft reset.
yeah, it's pretty critical.
Yeah. So I guess if you're listening to this, like my big like ask for the year is like if you're working towards something and you're not seeing the results, but you think that it's the thing you should be doing, just keep doing it. Chop wood, carry
Yeah.
water.
Deep down, we know what to do. You know
Right.
what I mean? Like, generally speaking, I think that's the truth is like
Yeah.
when you start over absorbing advice from other people, I think that can be a problem
That's a
because
tricky one.
it can make you not listen to what you're seeing and what you're feeling is the right, because the problem is it's, you know, what is right is different from person to
Right.
person.
Yeah.
And it's like really, that was a big thing for me over the last couple of years is like you just said, I have this gut feeling about just putting my head down in the shop and just making knives, which is a pivot from what I've done. And, you know, there's countering advice to that and whatnot out there. And it's like, it felt right. And it's
All
like
right.
for, you know, a couple of years, it was like, am I just wasting time? But it just did feel right. And I think there's the possibility of over absorbing advice from too many people. And then there's also, just focusing too much on the world is too have too macro of a view is problematic. You know what I mean? Because
Yeah.
like the whole chop wood, carry water thing has nothing to do with what's going on geopolitically. It has nothing to do with a
Yeah.
presidential election. It has nothing to do with the economy. It's like, do you want to make it through the night without freezing? Do you want to
Yeah.
drink water? You know what I
Yeah.
mean? It's like that's kind of what happens in your house is just the most important thing. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
everything else is secondary. And it's just true. It's just a truism. It's always going to be true. So
I think that's part, actually, that's part of the strength of maybe like a craft or maker mentality, which is we are slightly myopic, right? Like we can just focus on like the 12 by 12 square of space directly in front of us and be completely absorbed by it.
Yeah.
Right. It, like if you didn't, I look, if I'm like, if I didn't have my phone and I didn't have the internet and I didn't have news, dude, that space is still really interesting to me. Like my
Yeah.
little bench top, like area, I'm super grateful for that because it's everybody knows like the concept of like shop as escape, right? And when you're, if you're in a hobby level, that maybe is like more true. But I still get it when I go to work every morning, dude. It feels, I'm like, yeah, I'm where I want to be. You know, it's different. You have something to focus. It's not easy, but it's like right. I don't know. I don't even know how to like verbalize that. You
Yeah.
know.
One phrase that I forget the gentleman who's originally coined it, but my dad picked it up, is I think it's one of his saddle maker bits for maker friends that originally said it, and my dad keeps saying it, and I really like it. He said that 10 minutes of bad advice can cost you 10 years,
Dude.
and it's like, I don't know if I ever really realized that before, because I think when you're fresh face in the industry,
Yeah.
when someone gives you advice, you're like, that's exactly what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm literally just gonna, and there's advice out there to do that. It feels like, you know what I mean? There's
Right.
advice that's like, just listen to what everyone else is saying, and they have, you know, they've gone through 20 years of this, so do exactly what they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know, like I feel like I'm kind of learning and developing that it's like, advice, you have to be, it's probably the one of the more dangerous things. You have to be really careful with it, and that's kind of a, you know, callback to what I was
Super
saying,
one.
but.
Okay, two thoughts here. One, dude, I hope you are writing these quotes down because your dad and his group are like a literal like fountain of just wisdom, and they're good too. Like they sound good. Like that's a bumper sticker,
Yeah, it's
you
cowboy
know?
poetry.
Yeah, dude, like that's like
Yeah.
just walk into your consulting gig, drop that on the table, and you're like, we'll follow up next week. Like that's real. The second part is this is a fun topic around advice or like researched information. Okay. The analogy for me is actually around time management. So, and productivity. So I spent probably like the first 10 years of my career really trying to improve because I knew that I wasn't good at certain things and I had friends who were like awesome. Okay. I mean, being diagnosed with ADHD at 40 put some clarity to that, right? A lot of what I was doing was good advice. It just wasn't good advice for me. And that can be really, really hard to parse. So what, like where you're at, where I'm at now, I think we just have a better overall understanding of like our own abilities and where a piece of advice falls in. And it's like, it's not gospel. It doesn't mean it's going to work 100% for you. You just have to run it through your filter, your values, your priorities, and then see if it still aligns. But it is, man. It's especially with something like this where like the lessons and the skills are hard fought. It's like any little tidbit, man. We're so grateful for like
Yeah.
a time saving thing or like a
Yeah.
method or
And
anything.
yeah, and that, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because there's a lot
Yeah.
of great advice. It's, you know, the key is 10 minutes of bad advice
Dude.
will take 10 years away. And that's, you know, emphasis on bad, because there's good advice that'll save you 10 years.
10
And
years, yeah.
the point being is, like, just because you respect someone and they've been successful doesn't mean that what they tell you to do is right, because it might have been right for them. And also, it may have been right when they did it, but it's not right anymore. You know what I mean?
It's like parenting. You,
Yeah.
what's crazy about parenting, one of the things that's crazy about parenting is that like you become an expert, right? For a time period. But then you're like out, kind of. You know what I mean? Like become a grandparent. But that's what we see is like grandparents comment on like how you're raising your kids now, and it doesn't maybe doesn't align with how they raised their kids.
Yeah.
This is like pretty common.
Well, yeah, like there was a time that you put whiskey in a baby's bottle to calm them down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like,
Wait, we don't do
right.
that? Like,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
but that kind of stuff where you look and you're like, you're not wrong. You have like a deep, you have a
Yeah.
deep understanding of this in a time period. But also, it's not that it's not relevant. And maybe child rearing is like not the best example, but with industry and manufacturing, it's like I realize, dude, this learning around social media that I'm doing, people in the industry, I will still have people tell me like how good I am at social media and like marketing around social media and stuff. And I'm like, that was true in 2015. It's not true anymore. That's not my strength. I don't have what I developed was based around an outdated mode of working. Okay. Some of it still carries through, and I have like gut, like intuition, but working through this new process, I see like, okay, dude, if you're 22 and good at it, you're good at a different thing that I was good at when I was 22.
That's a great example because social media is very, very dynamic.
Yeah.
And it's like I used to tell people there was a time where I told people, they're like, how do I get started? And it's like I went on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I've always credited Instagram as like one of my main drivers when I
Yeah.
started. I always credit SHOT Show.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking at it right now and I'm like, shoot, I don't know if either of
If
those are
those
valid
are like
anymore. So
right.
if I keep saying that, it's like, am I one of those bad advice guys that's like, are you going to spend 10 years trying to build an Instagram following around knives just for them to completely kick you off? You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
like, that's 10 minutes of bad advice that could cost you 10 years right there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's
Right.
like that's an example of like the door that I went through might not be open anymore. You know what I mean? And so I think it's important as if people are asking us for help, it's important
Yeah.
to not look at, and you hear about like all the things with like, oh, older generations when they bought this and they sold this, like the economy was
Totally.
so different. And there is a truth there in some ways that it's like the economy wasn't shaped like it is now. At the beginning of some people's careers, in certain decades past. And so it's like you got to have to put a grain of salt in like advice from someone who, graduated college in 1965 or whatever. You know what
Yeah.
I mean? It's like it's just different.
Yeah, there's
And
timeless advice and then there's time sensitive advice. Being able to parse it is important. We're also an anachronistic industry. So there's a lot of things where the value is in a 100-year-old process or skill set. And so it can be tricky. I guess if I was going to give like a call to action or like a tool for this right now, it would be inside of your network, you definitely want two things. You want people who are older than you doing a similar thing, as well as maybe a dissimilar thing, right? Like I always had friends who were a decade older than me. Okay. It's close enough that you're looking at the same things, but there's different resources. You and I are a decade apart. Okay. And you want people who are a decade younger than you in your network because they're going to pick up on things that you're missing.
Well, I have a blank canvas.
They have a blank
So,
canvas.
yeah, they're gonna, see things for what they are as opposed to through a lens
Yeah.
that I see through.
You and I have are a really good example of this in a way because we've traded information and resources back and forth essentially from when we've first met, which is we've probably known each other a decade. So that's like a pretty fun, that's a pretty fun like metric, but also like trajectory, like where we were when we met versus where we are now. And just like the amount of information and like resources that have been shared and the network that's been grown out of that, I would say like makes like a pretty compelling argument. Jens is a great example of someone who's 10 years older than me, and I feel very, it's like a very similar kind of relationship, you know? So, and it's weird because I talk to people all the time and like their friend group is their age. Dude, it means you're all
You're
dealing with the
missing
same
something.
problems at the same time. Like,
So yeah, there's value in that, but then why it'd be nice to talk to someone who already solved that problem too, you know?
solve the problem. Or you don't even have to talk to it. You see it. You just see them. Like, dude, if you, like my kids are 7 and 4, dude, it's cool to hang out with parents with, you know, like a 10 and a 6, you know, because you see it and you're like, okay, that's how they're dealing with it. It's like, that's not even a huge difference in time, but it's enough.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I don't know. Feels, I don't know. It feels like, I think coming through the holidays, like a lot of this kind of line of thinking is around like friends, family, gratitude, like the business. Like, there's no way you can kind of get out of it. And I just like, dude, I keep coming back to this. If I'm okay, one, like we were talking about earlier, if I'm happy for the way that the people in my network are experiencing success, okay, that, I mean, that's probably has a lot to just do with like the fact that there's quality people in your network
For sure.
making good decisions and like they're seeing the same thing probably, you know, that's pretty cool.
Having a circle around you that you want to build up and that builds you up, and you know, it's easy to get in like a overly competitive circle where it's like there's that little voice in your head that like is kind of happy when they stumble because it's like now I get a little edge. So yeah, if you have to be careful about that mentality or being around people where that mentality kind of festers, it's like,
Other people's success does not equal your failure.
yes, it's critical.
That's critical. Like, we can all succeed like simultaneously. Exceptions to every rule, I get it. But in general, like when you look at a small industry like ours, like there's room for people, for everybody to succeed. I've quoted it before, but I love that the movie There Will Be Blood. And Daniel Day-Lewis is like, I have a competition in me. That resonated with me. The following line didn't, which is, I want no one else to succeed. And I was like, man, that's like, I have a competition in me and I want everyone else to succeed. I was like, how does that work? But it does. Like I'm still competitive. I still like, it's human nature. Like I see someone doing well and I'm like, I also want to do well, but I don't want to take it from them. Or I don't want them to fail so I
It's
can
not
like succeed.
a zero sum game.
Not a
Never
zero sum
has
game.
been, never
Never
will
has
be.
been. Dude, how lucky are we? Like this is a nice way to wrap the year. Feels good.
It does.
It was hard. This was a hard year. This is overall, one of the hardest years. I have worked more this year probably than almost any other year, but I've gotten so much better in so many areas.
Great.
And there's areas where I'm like, I don't feel like I'm missing out. It's like, yes, it's hard to do this, but the value that it's providing is the right type of value. And that's what it's about.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad. I mean, there's other things bubbling up that we just I'm gonna break down the fourth wall. There's some things that we're not gonna talk about on the podcast that I'm excited about, but I want to call it out for everyone out there that it's cool to see what has become of your directionality moving forward.
Thanks,
It's
man.
a cool story for your year because I'm able to talk about the cup wheel grinding. You know what I mean? But you've got
I
exciting
know.
developments, and
Yeah,
it's
there's
cool.
exciting stuff going on, and like it's like I said, man, non-linear. You don't know, like all you can do is just keep doing the work. Keep like making sure that you're aligned with your values and your goals and just like give a little bit of trust to the process. Should we wrap it, dude? That feels like
That was a fun
good.
one.
I feel like I would just sit here and drink a sip of whiskey if it wasn't 7 o'clock in the morning.
That's true. No, it does. Actually, I do want to call out my wife made homemade marshmallows
Ooh.
And she put one in my coffee when I left this morning. And usually a marshmallow in my coffee is like whatever, because it just sits there and bobs and gets sticky. That
Not
thing
this one.
dissolved almost instantly. That was freaking good. So,
Dude.
yes, I like the thought of whiskey, but I'm gonna go home and have another one of those because
That sounds pretty
that
good.
was
Man, I'm trying to think if there's any just like any other little just like wrap up stuff, man. You and I will talk again before the end of the year. For you guys that have listened and like followed us on this like pod journey, which is also part of it, and we don't talk about that a lot, but like I feel like just us being able to sit and talk every week, every other week has been such a good experience. Call a homie, like go, like talk to somebody. Like if you're feeling like you got problems that you can't work out on your own, or you're excited about something, just like have a conversation. 'Cause I think that's how this has felt a lot of times.
Yes. Yeah.
And we appreciate you guys kind of following along.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Lucas. Thanks
Likewise,
for
man. Appreciate you as
walking the
well.
path.
Yeah.
It's been good.
It's good stuff. For you, those of you in Patreon, thank you so much. Helps. It's all good. All right. We will see you guys in the new year. Hope you all have a happy and healthy holiday. And I don't know, don't get coal in your stockings.
Have a snowball fight.
Have a snowball fight. Drink some whiskey
Peace.
for me.